This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are joined by Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer. Jeff, I'm kind of at a loss for words. I don't even know where to start, my friend.
is there anything else you want to talk about? Maybe we just turn this into a non-Saints segment. That might be the best option.
Obviously you saw. I'm just going to shift the onus to you. I watched every minute of last night's game. I did not leave the screen. I stayed right there, and I just kept hoping that something was going to turn, and it just didn't.
Never did. Sure, certainly never did. And you know, I love Drew Brees. Drew Brees is one of my favorite people of all time. You know, he's gonna like. I can't remember the last time the Saints played. They haven't played well with him in the building since he was a player. Let's put it that way. Every time he's in that building, bad things happen. And that was the only thing that was good about that night is he was able to lead a halftime chant that I gave. I didn't think it was going to happen. I'm going to be honest. I didn't think it was going to go well for him. But props to whoever decided, hey, we're going to put the script up on the video boards to help these fans out. And the fans, they did their job. So that's the most effective thing that was Saints related that happened in that game. Let's put it that way. And, you know, it's funny. You look at it and you say, well, what went wrong? And it's a simple, like, we know the script, right? Like we know the script because it's exactly what happened on Sunday. You couldn't stop the run. You couldn't take the quarterback to the ground. They didn't even get a QB hit on Bo Nix. And listen, Bo Nix was not good in that game. You watch that game. He's short hopping balls to receivers like he's a shortstop making a throw from like deep left field. Like he was not good. If he's league average in that game, the Broncos probably dropped 50. It was that bad. And DA was asked after the game if he thinks players have quit. You know, Richard Sherman was on the broadcast on the prime radio broadcast kind of saying, hey, this team is playing like
I heard that.
Yeah, I don't know. Like that's
look, I don't believe that. That little bit I've been around, these guys are professionals. You have nights where it may look that way because they recognize we're so out of this game. There's no way we're getting back into this game. You know.
I agree with that. I think the word you'd use would be demoralized. Like I don't think anyone's out there making business decisions or quitting or whatever. Yeah. And that's kind of what we heard from the players. Like we talked to the players about it, and they kind of all said the same thing. It's like, hey. Things get away from you sometimes, and it's like it's how you respond to it. I just don't think they responded particularly well, right? And yeah. And the problem is you're talking about we're saying the same thing two times in 5 days, and it starts to get really ugly. And especially when you put that tape out there in front of a national audience, that's when you're going to get the halftime show making very loud opinions about what they're watching. And frankly, like the Saints didn't give them any reason to say anything else. You know, you couldn't get anything done on offense. You couldn't get anything done on defense. Like, remember, this is not a good Broncos offense. That rushing attack was ranked 29th in the NFL coming into the game. They did whatever they wanted. I think I counted it up. They had something like 16 first down runs, and at least 10 of them went for 6 yards or more. You were constantly giving them second and medium, second and short, or frankly, just a first down on first down. You got 10 days here, you know, and obviously the injuries are a factor. Paulson Adebo went down with kind of a gruesome injury. He broke his femur in that game. He had to have he was supposed to undergo surgery. They took him to the hospital during the game. I don't know exactly how that went. If it's done, if he's kind of started rehab or whatever, that's just add that to the list, right? You put Rashid Shaheed on IR. You were without Chris Olave. Derek Carr wasn't there. You have three offensive linemen who didn't play. Taysom Hill hasn't played. Pete Werner hasn't played. Like, it's not an excuse to say the injuries are making life miserable and, frankly, at points feeling impossible for this team to put together a winning effort. But it's, you know, it's the NFL. Like, you got to be able to manage that in better ways than you have. Because if you're up there losing close games and you can say, man, if you had this guy, that might have been a different result. These have not been close games. I mean, the only scoring drive you had when that game was actually in the balance, you had to go for it on fourth down at your own 30-yard line just to give yourself some hope. You were that desperate in the first half. So it's bleak right now. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Like, you know, this team either has to figure something out or there's going to be changes.
How many starters are actually out now? Do we know?
You're putting me on the spot. I mean, it's at least six, right?
I mean,
I think it's double digits at this point. I mean, if you consider Taysom Hill a starter, if you consider the three offensive linemen,
that's four,
you know, the two wide receivers. So, you know, that's six right there. Pete Werner, Marshawn Lattimore finished that game on the bench still with a hamstring injury. Nick Saldivari went out of that game. So even the backup starters are out. Yeah. So, I mean, without sitting here and going one by one, I'd guess 10 to 12, right? And, you know, Will Harris, another starter, he's on IR. It's hard to look at it and say, man, this is just bad luck. You really have to kind of dive into it a little deeper than that. DA has mentioned they're trying to kind of put their finger on, hey, what can we be doing differently? I don't know if they've identified anything right now in terms of, hey, you know, how do you fix this type of thing midseason? But yeah, I can't recall a season that was impacted more significantly by injuries, and not just like injuries to some key players, like injuries everywhere you look. There was 18 players listed on the Saints injury report going into this game. 18. You only field 22 players at a time, like on the offensive defense. Like it's a 53-man roster. That's more than a third of your roster.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right there. Thankfully you have 10 days. You can hopefully get some of these players back. But you know, you gotta. I think it's gotta be more than just a roster reset. It's gotta be a mental reset too.
And a big problem, and you tell me, Jeff, you've been doing this a long time. I mean, when you have someone like Richard Sherman say what he says, because I'm getting a lot of texts. Look, I think I trust Richard Sherman's opinion more so than mine. Well, obviously, I mean, he was a player. I've never, you know, I've been in a locker room, but not as a player. I just find it hard. In fact, I was listening to comments of Jim Mora last night in the aftermath of the game, and he got a little teed up about some folks saying that, you know, he thought that, you know, the team, they thought the team quit and the season's over. He goes, the season's never over. You know, you never know whether other teams in your division are going to fall into the same situation that you fell into in the first third of the season. It could very well happen to them in the middle of the season. You never know. So you always got to be thinking that, you know, and looking forward and everything else. But when you have someone like that on national TV make the comments that he made, it's a little bit hard to overcome, right?
Well, I mean, there's a perception of your team. That's why these primetime games, these national games, are important to perform well in, because, you know, we watch all these games. We see all these games. We know, hey, there's a lot of injuries. We know they're starting a rookie quarterback. We know all of the circumstances that go into why a game like that happened for the Saints. But this audience that's seeing the Saints for the first time, they don't care. They're looking at it and saying, I want to be entertained by a football game. Why do networks pick teams for primetime games? Because they think they're going to draw ratings, because these games are supposed to be entertaining. And so you put that product out there in front of an audience that hasn't watched the Saints all year, maybe on that Monday night game against the Chiefs, which was also not exactly an entertaining game, and you create this image of a team that's just not worth watching, you know? And you feel for the fans in the building, because they all went in there. They want to be hyped up. They want to yell. They want to cheer. They want to get excited about something other than the guy who doesn't play here anymore going into the Team Hall of Fame. He just gave them nothing. And so it's hard to, you know, you can disagree with Richard. I disagree with Richard. I don't think, you know, again, these guys are professionals. They're going out there. They're putting everything they have into that game, and it's just not going their way. And again, it is demoralizing, especially when you see one of the players that, you know, you've gone out there and fought with breaking his femur on national television, and again, a gruesome injury. And you know, it's tough, but at the end of the day, the tape you put out there is the tape that exists, and that's what Richard is reacting to. Now, does he have insight into what these players are thinking on the field? Absolutely not. You know, we talked to Tyron after the game, and he said he was going to talk to Richard and kind of be like, hey, what are you talking about? You know, they know each other. Again, it's like, hey, you are what the tape says you are. And right now the tape says the Saints are just not a very good football team.
And part of the problem is when you have this uncertainty about who's actually starting. I mean, they actually had some injuries during practice this past week. You had a short time frame, a lot of games in a short period of time. Not a lot of time to really recoup. Thankfully, they've got this period of time, and Dennis Allen talked about it in his postgame, to try and get some of this back on track, to try and get through some of these nagging injuries. Because it's one thing to be injured that you can't play, but we know that these players are walking out on the field, in many cases, by this point in time in the season, a little bit less than, because they got these little nagging things, and when you're playing a lot of games in a short period of time, they get exacerbated and highlighted, and it's a problem. And as the coach pointed out, it's not an excuse, it's just a reality, right?
Yeah, and I mean, he wanted to make sure that it's like, you know, I don't want this to be construed as me saying, hey, we can't win because of the injuries. Like, you have to play better football, but, you know, it is remarkable when you look at all the players they don't have. The Saints don't have. I mean, like, you talk about, hey, you know, I don't hate the idea of seeing what we have in Spencer Rattler, right? Like, I think that's a positive that you can say, hey, we're getting tapes and we're getting game film that we can break down and we can work on and we can improve on. But I don't think in any universe you were like, hey, if we try out Spencer Rattler and see what he has, we're going to have him throwing to Bub Means, Mason Tipton, and Cedric Wilson and saying, good luck, kid. You know, and that's what makes it frustrating, is like, I'd like to know what he has with an offense around him. And that's kind of what D.A. said. Like, he struggled in that game. There's no question about it. But it's not all about Spencer Rattler. It's about the cast of characters around him that you need to help a rookie quarterback play well. And it's just none of it was good enough. And that's what makes it incredibly frustrating. You'd like to be able to say, hey, it's the defense. Fix the defense. And suddenly, hey, this will look better. It's on both sides of the ball. I mean, again, the offense didn't sustain the drive the entire game until you know Spencer came out and you put Jake Haener in, kind of that garbage time drive. I actually thought Jake looked pretty good. He handled that situation well. And I think that maybe gives you some questions as to, hey, do you consider making a change there in 10 days when you go out to L.A. and seeing what Jake has to offer? Are you worried that you're putting your young quarterback that you feel like has a high ceiling and can develop into something in a situation where he's just going to lose all of his confidence? And I think that is a real concern. One positive, I thought Kendre Miller looked really good in the limited snaps he got. I don't know why his snaps were so limited. You know, you would have liked to see him get a little bit more run there when the game was in the balance. But I asked DA after the game, he said, yeah, I think that's a guy who can help us. He was pleased with what he saw. So maybe he's someone who, you know, again, like Jim Morris said, like the season's not over. You got to string some wins together. And the problem is right now it's really hard to see a scenario where you can do that based on what we've watched over the last 3 weeks. But, you know, you take from this game, you see what went well, you try to build on it, and you go from there. But, yeah, it's with the bodies you have, with the injuries you have, it's a really kind of bleak scenario right now.
And there were multiple people that said this last night. They said if they had to pick one thing about the game that is the most problematic for them in their perspective, and I would agree with this, is that you have two back-to-back games where the other team's offense has rushed for over 200 yards. And he says when you dig deep and you look at that, we're just getting manhandled at the front line. And most of our tackles are being made by DBs in many respects. And, you know, we saw a Debo going down trying to assist on a tackle. It was made by another DB.
Yeah, and I mean, this game, you know, Jordan Howden was your leading tackler, his safety. Alante Taylor was your second leading tackle. I thought Alante Taylor played pretty well. I think Tyrann Mathieu said this, like, you can't be a good defense if you can't stop the run. Like, there's no such thing as a good defense in the NFL that it can't stop the run. And especially when you're talking about, hey, this was not an elite rushing offense. This was the 29th ranked rushing offense in the NFL. And if you can't stop this offense from running the ball, you're not going to stop any offense from running the ball. So that's kind of where it starts, I think, for the Saints. You got to figure out how to win the line of scrimmage on defense in some way. And if you can do that, I still think you can cover. I think you have the secondary. I think you have the pieces. But, you know, when you can't stop the defense and you have to devote more and more bodies to the run, it makes life easier on the back or in the passing game, and you can't cover the way you want to. And that's kind of been the story. So, yeah, I think if this Saints defense wants to turn things around, that's where it's got to start. You got to find a way to stifle the run game and get back to that stretch. Hey, it's not that long ago that we were talking about, hey, the Saints haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher in 2 years. You know, and now we're talking about 200-yard rushing games in back-to-back weeks. And, I think that has to be where it starts.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Bo Nix was 16 of 26 for 164 yards. I counted six passes that he threw last night to receivers that were wide open, that were like 5 yards short. And, you know, he was throwing off his back foot or whatever it may be, and he really wasn't setting up very well.
He threw one directly to Tyrann Mathieu, and Tyrann dropped it.
Yeah. So that stack could have easily been 22 or 26 for 260 yards before it was all set, you know, and done. Well, hopefully we're able to mend ourselves a little bit as we head out to the Chargers, but that's not going to be an easy game either, right?
No, I mean, the Chargers, they're going to run the ball. That's kind of their identity on offense. So it's definitely not a matchup you want if you're a team that can't stop the run. But you'll have to see. Again, you got 10 days to figure this thing out. And I think that's going to be a very critical 10 days for a lot of people on this roster and this coaching staff.
No doubt. Jeff Nowak, as always, truly appreciate your time. I know you were up late last night. We appreciate it. Thank you so much, and have a great weekend.
For sure. No, you too.
Thank you, sir. Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer, will be right back, folks. On the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, 504-260-1870. When we come back, we'll visit with Jan Moeller, Invest in Louisiana. He's not excited about the flat tax, and we'll talk about that. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.